From the Dudley Smith Research Farm in Christian County, Illinois, near Pena, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vick. She's at Stuart Peterson. Drew Lerner should join us, too, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's with World Weather Incorporated. And we'll hear all about the research that's happening right here on this farm and the impact it may have on farmers across the state of Illinois as it pertains to the Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy, or the NLRS, the way that producers are working to control, contain nitrogen and nitrates on their fields. And we'll do that right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 21st day of June. It's the longest day of the year. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. I'd like to set the scene just a bit for you on this Wednesday afternoon because technology has come a very long ways. Today I am at the Dudley Smith Farm, which is in Christian County, Illinois. It's between Pena and Taylorville, and now I'm sitting in a paddock, a pasture that's 2 acres in size. It's one of many that are here on the farm. This is one of the places the U of I manages a beef herd, and they also, of course, have a working farm here. We'll hear more about that and some of the things that researchers are doing with nitrogen control on this farm. Other than that, the folks that were here earlier for the field day have vacated, and they're out looking at some of the control structures. But Jackie Vakes, I'm sitting in a tent, which is probably 25 feet wide and 50 feet long, and all of the tables are set up, meaning they're all put up, and so are the chairs, just me, one chair, and a big tent, and a pasture. You know, I actually kind of like it. And amazingly enough, we can bring programming back to the radio stations. And Jared White was here from WHOW earlier. He was going live to his radio station. This, of course, recorded earlier in the day, but it's just really fantastic to be out and about. Jackie Fakes, I appreciate you taking the time. And the fact that I'm able to get hold of you and talk to you, too, from the middle of a field is really nice.
It is amazing.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what I see here. And which is probably kind of about the kinds of things that we heard about earlier in the week from the USDA. On my drive down, the corn, the soybeans, actually pretty good looking at this point. Crop ratings are getting better, but they're still not as good as they have been in the past. What do you see on Monday?
You know, what I've been doing, Todd, is keeping track of the individual states, you know, who have the highest crop ratings and who has the lowest crop ratings, kind of to get a feel for, you know, where the best crops are. The highs this week, again, continue to have Colorado, Kentucky, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Texas. Nebraska dropped out. But the interesting part is that the range of ratings this week for the top went from 81 to 93 versus 78 to 93 last week. So, you know, we definitely saw an improvement on the low side. Indiana still there. Illinois, Kansas, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota. We added Illinois and Kansas. And there, too, though, the average ratings went from 45 to 61 versus 44 to 59. So, you know, we definitely saw some improvements, but it's coming very, very slow. Now, this is the first week I'm doing beans. Tennessee, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Minnesota, Louisiana, Kentucky, I had the highest numbers, and their ratings were 77 to 86. So, you know, pretty significantly good. The low side, of course, South Dakota, Ohio, North Dakota, Michigan, Missouri, Indiana, you know, following along with where the corn is, and those ratings were 48 to 63. So it'll be interesting to watch. You know, corn ratings are so subjective, but yet there's something to give you kind of an idea of what's going on in the individual states.
Speaking of kind of an idea, how are our exports holding up?
I always look at inspections, Todd, because inspections are actually where we go from. That's actual, you know, sales can be one thing, but inspections mean it's gone. And I think this is a really robust year so far for corn. We've got 1.8 billion to date versus 1.2 last year. Beans 1.9 versus 1.6. Wheat 59 million versus 43. And so I think, you know, in general, what it's saying is At this point in time, we are still very, very competitive in the marketplace at the current level that we're at.
A couple of places I'd like to talk about today, both on the global front. I want to get to Brazil. Lots of things happening there. But the Chinese are always something that we keep an eye on. And we keep an eye on both their corn and their soybeans and what they're doing internally as well.
Right. And we know that China's had just tremendous problems because they've had corn that's gone out of condition. They have so many things going on. So now they've decided to offer subsidies to double of what the subsidies were before to keep the price higher to discourage them from corn planting, and that's to the tune of $375 million. Now, whether it'll work or not, you know, we really don't. But, you know, when they use those subsidies, well, they chose that a time to set the subsidy price at the very worst possible time they could have. And so they're just trying to take a step back and see if they can't back things up and perhaps get rid of the glut of corn that they've got sitting there.
I want to get to JBS and some of the things that are happening in the livestock sector. However, let's stay with corn. Brazil, that crop had a big impact last year on prices going higher. How's the Safrinha crop, second crop there this year?
Well, you know, it's a record crop. And nationwide, they've only harvested 4.9% in contrast to 7.7 last year and 4.6 average. So, you know, basically, you know, you have to say big crop. You know, big crops definitely harvest slower. Now, when you look at Mato Grosso, we've got the farmers there very concerned about corn price and storage. In fact, a lot of them are purchasing silo bags, you know, and if they can put the corn into the silo bag at a good moisture level and there's no pests involved, they can keep it up to 18 months. And, you know, the silo bag, or the silos basically right now, are just full of that huge crop of beans. You know, you look at Mato Grosso in general, 64% of their corn is sold versus 84% last year. Approximate current price is $2.20. And government support is at $2.27. You know, last year the corn price hit $5.10, and this year the cash price has been as low as $1.75. So a huge variation for that particular crop in that country. Mato Grosso beans, they've got 60% sold. The current price is at $7.75 cash, which is actually below the cost of production, and that's why the silos are full. Now, you know, I think some people think I'm crazy because I talk about currencies as much as I do, but I believe we'll see the sales really accelerate if we find a weaker real currency versus the U.S. dollar, because, you know, they are paid based on U.S. dollars. And so earlier in the week, we did see a little bit of a drop in that ratio. And we better, you know, I tell you what, if there's farmers out there that are still hanging on to beans and thinking that beans are going to get to a lot higher price, keep an eye on what's going on between the real and the U.S. dollar, because if it starts to weaken and that currency starts, we'll see sales coming out of there like crazy.
And finally, JBS, they've been in trouble. Does that have an impact here in the U.S. at all?
Oh, yeah. It could have a very large impact here. In fact, you know, their plans are to sell $1.8 billion worth of assets, and they're going to sell a number of the U.S., if not all the U.S. cattle feedlots to get money. You know, they got that fine of $1.16 billion for bribing politicians. And the bottom line really is they just plain grew too fast. They had access to too much money, however they managed to do that. But, you know, at this point in time now, they've got to figure out what to do. So, yes, it's definitely having an impact here.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Todd. Enjoy that pasture.
I will. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with dicamba and Arkansas. A group of Arkansas farmers are suing Monsanto and BASF over dicamba-based herbicide spray drift that killed neighboring crops not tolerant to dicamba. The lawsuit comes as Arkansas's plant board voted Tuesday to limit dicamba applications of herbicides to hooded sprayers only within a 1 mile downwind buffer. Ingenia is the only dicamba-based herbicide that can be used in Arkansas after April 15th. The lawsuit filed last week claims Monsanto and BASF implemented and controlled the dicamba crop system, releasing seed technology without a corresponding safe and approved herbicide. The farmers allege that Monsanto and BASF sold the dicamba crop system while knowing it could wipe out crops, fruits, and trees that are not dicamba tolerant. The farmers claim that those who do not plant dicamba tolerant crops are left with no protection from the herbicide. Arkansas is investigating more than 100 dicamba drift complaints this year. We'll stay with lawsuits. The nation of Brazil is suing the former JBS chairman. Brazil's president is suing the former JBS board chairman and majority shareholder, President Michel Temer, filed two lawsuits this week against José Batista for slander and moral damages. And Batista was quoted in an interview saying Temer is the head of the most dangerous criminal organization in Brazil. Batista gave details in a magazine interview of the bribery scheme with Brazilian politicians, in which he said Temer would request money for campaigns and allied politicians. And finally today, the president is visiting the Midwest this afternoon to talk up agriculture and ag technology at a time when farming is becoming even more efficient, but Americans are seemingly uneducated about where their food comes from and how it's produced. President Trump, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross are visiting Iowa to talk about how high-tech ag equipment and farm management are making the industry super efficient. Longtime Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley on the president's trip to Cedar Rapids.
He's going to make two appearances, one at the Agricultural Division of Kirkwood Community College, where he's going to talk about just agriculture, and he's going to emphasize technology in farming, and that relates to GPS farming and everything connected with GPS. And I hope he'll talk about the farm bill and talk about trade.
Grassley says he expects the administration to announce renewable fuel volumes for next year this week, though he did not think that the president's trip had anything to do with the RFS volumes. Well, we're here at the Dudley Smith Farm today on this Wednesday afternoon. Lindsay Ramsey is with us. She's with the Illinois Farm Bureau and deals with governmental affairs there. She's been talking quite a bit about the Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy, or the NLRS. If you've been listening for a while, you know that that's a function across the state trying to reduce nutrient loss. The Illinois Farm Bureau has what is relatively new, a grant system to put procedures in place, practices in place that farmers might be able to adopt. Can you tell me why it is that the Farm Bureau felt it necessary to work with Extension, with researchers at the University of Illinois, other places, to begin to try to put practices in place across the state to control nutrient loss?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think that, you know, the Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy came out about 2 years ago, and we very quickly moved into a space of implementation. So we can talk about the strategy and what it says, and that's a whole conversation, but we have to start doing what it says, too. We're going to be held to that document, and so what we said we could accomplish in that document, we're going to do our best to get there. And so Illinois Farm Bureau felt like we needed to help our farmer members move beyond a list of practices into actually implementing those practices on their farm. And they're, you know, the state of Illinois is hurting right now. There's a little bit of a lack of resources in terms of some of that assistance. And so we wanted to use our county farm bureaus to get involved in their, whatever their local efforts are on water quality and nutrient reduction, give them some resources to be at the table and bring our farmer members to the table in projects exactly like this, like at the Dudley Smith Farm.
So those projects range in this year in what forms?
Yeah, so we've got projects looking at cover crops. We've got projects looking at edge of field practices like wood chip bioreactors. And last year we did a saturated buffer practice, which is a new NRCS practice that's kind of neat. It uses the tile system in a way that helps clean the water before it leaves a farm. So we're looking at that. We're looking at fertilizer practices. A lot of field days. You know, we wanted to move beyond just having a meeting to talk about things, but actually showing things. So a lot of these grant projects have a field day component where you can go and learn about the different practices that farmers are putting in across the state. And it's important to see what's going on in your area. You know, we know that not every practice works in every part of Illinois. So we want to give farmers options to see what will work for their soil type, the amount of rainfall they get, the crops that they grow, because that's going to vary across the state.
Of course, we're here in Christian County, Taylorville, Pena area at the Dudley Smith Farm. These farms are similar to a lot of things across central Illinois, but as you said, there's a range from the top to the bottom and from east to west. And the implementation process, how important is it for the local county farm bureau to work with Extension and the university and researchers?
I think it's so important. And you know what? A lot of these partnerships were already there. They just maybe needed to be invigorated a little bit. And it turns out that a grant program can do just that. Everybody's busy. And this provided an opportunity to sit back down with those partners in your local area and realize that we all have the same goal. We've got farmer members that are trying to figure out what to do. They've got the researchers or the technical specialists or somebody that can help farmers do that. And so we together, it's a really great partnership and provides a lot more opportunity for farmers to get engaged at the local level.
Lindsay Ramsey, of course, is with the Illinois Farm Bureau, and she serves in their Governmental Affairs Department. We're now joined by Laura Christensen. She's with the University of Illinois and a professor, assistant professor in the Department of Crop Sciences, here on the site at the Dudley Smith Farm to talk with producers about the kinds of nutrient loss reduction strategies that are being implemented here. What are the things that are in place today?
Well, part of our Dudley Smith project, the biggest part of our Dudley Smith project, was getting our tile drainage infrastructure installed. So here at the site, we have 16 individually drained tile plots that are each 2 acres, so we can do different infield practices on each of the plots. For example, we'll be looking at different ways to manage nitrogen, maybe applying nitrogen fertilizer in the spring rather than fall. We'll be looking at things like a winter cover crop, cereal rye cover crop, and then we're also doing edge of field practices like a wood chip bioreactor, which serves as a mini kind of farmer-friendly water treatment plant to take nitrate out of tile drainage.
Tell me how that works, because I know producers will be interested.
Well, wood chip bioreactors are one of my favorite practices. It's basically a very simple idea, just a trench full of wood chips that you route your tile drainage through. And inside the trench, there's good natural bacteria that colonize the wood chips, and as the nitrate floats by them in the water, they're able to convert the nitrate in the water to harmless nitrogen gas. And so these bacteria are taking something in the water that we're concerned about that we don't want to go downstream, and they're just turning it into a natural gas.
Do you have weirs on this particular plot, meaning are you able to hold water in place or not?
Well, every bioreactor is designed with an outlet control structure so that we can back the water up in the wood chips so the water stays in the wood chips long enough for these bacteria to do their job. So that's a part of every bioreactor. The interesting thing about the bioreactor here at the Dudley Smith Farm is that we put some baffles inside the bioreactor so that rather than the water just shooting straight through the wood chips, which is how most bioreactors are designed, we're routing the water in more of an S pattern so the water stays in the wood chips longer without having to make the wood chip bioreactor bigger.
Does it work? Have you seen enough science from it, enough data to tell us that?
We've just been monitoring for a couple months, but so far we know it's working very well, so we're very pleased with the results. We know the water is flowing in a different pattern than what we would expect normally, which was our hypothesis, so far so good.
What are your hopes for the future for this farm and for producers to be able to implement some of the practices?
Well, our vision for the farm is really that it serves as a demonstration site where farmers can come and see practices that work for farmers, that work to clean up tile drainage. And so farmers can take these practices home and try them out themselves. For example, winter cover crop is one of our best infield practices to reduce nitrate loss and drainage.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Laura Christensen, of course, is with the Department of Crop Sciences, and she's located on campus at the University of Illinois, but is out and about in the state doing research in many plots, and we're here at the Dudley Smith Farm outside of Pana.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.